Pets. 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 Pets, here is an art to the building up of suspense. Pets, though it can be done.
Siegel Music Colony in Schoonwake, New York presents the first full performances of the new comic opera Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. The opera features a score and libretto by composer Herschel Garfein and is based on the play by the renowned Tom Stoppard. The play and the opera expand on the exploits of two minor characters from Shakespeare's Hamlet. The action of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead takes place mainly in the wings of Hamlet, with brief appearances of major characters from the play who enact fragments of the original and memorable scenes by the bard. Here to tell us more, we welcome Siegel Music Colony's artistic director, Darren Woods. Good morning, Darren.
Good morning.
Always wonderful to see you. And composer of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, Herschel Garfein. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Very nice to have you on the program. Well, let us begin with you, Darren, of how this particular project came about.
Well, oddly enough, it started about 10 years ago when Herschel had this piece was on Vox, which was New York City Opera's orchestral workshop. And I heard a piece of it, and a piece that I was commissioning was also on that. And I went up to him afterwards and said, I love this piece. I really want to find a way to do this one of these days. And flash forward, he won my competition in Fort Worth, and so I got to hear another piece of it. And last year, Tony and I were looking for a project to, after Roscoe's huge success, we thought, Well, we want to do another piece. And I called up Herschel and said, it's written, do you want to do it here at Siegel? And it was really just sort of born that way.
So you get that call, Herschel,
yes.
And I assume the answer comes pretty quickly.
Yeah, I think I answered the question before he asked it. I think he said, hi, this is Darren. I said, yes.
I was going to get to this later, but I'll get to this now. Darren, I think it's fascinating that you're able to, of the wonderful work that this company has done of bringing big names, big projects, and doing the first full runs of them is really quite something. What is it, do you think, that artists, and I'll certainly let Herschel answer this question too, but I'm interested in your thought of what it is that attracts people to want to come and certainly in the beginning stages of trying their show out.
Yeah, there. I think it's the fact that most of the I'm at 59. I'm like the grandfather of new American opera. It seems I've just been devoted to it my whole career, both as a singer and as a producer. And I think what we provide, and Herschel can speak to this, is a really incredibly safe place, sort of like an off-Broadway tryout for a premiere.
Sure.
And we have young artists, emerging artists, that will throw themselves literally into the parts and become these characters. For us as educators, it's great for them to do a role that they can't turn on a YouTube video and see someone else do. And so I think it's really the safety factor. We can put it's so expensive to put a show on its feet, and we can do it for pennies on the dollar for a composer, where if I had done this in Fort Worth or any other large company, it would cost $100,000 to rent a theater and orchestra and do all the things. We can do it for a lot less than that.
Yes, and I want to stress that despite all of that, it's being given an absolutely first-class production. I mean, the detail. I mean, there's a fight choreographer, which, you know, it's a big thing if you're going to do something that includes scenes from Hamlet. You have to have a fight choreographer. And, you know, there's a percussionist on stage, and this cast is fantastic. You know, they've been working for around the clock for weeks. And so I think it's going to be a very entertaining, very fun evening for everybody.
When Darren was talking a moment ago about safety, of being up there and being in a safe place, talk about the importance of that.
Well, in this particular piece I've been working on, it's not really an exaggeration to say it's my life's work. I've done many other things while I've been working on it, but I've been working on it for 15 years.
Okay.
And I don't consider any moment of that 15 years to have been wasted, because I'm trying to do something that I think is rather new, which is to forge a sort of middle ground between opera and musical theater, to have all the entertainment values of musical theater, but also some of the profundity, some of the depth of opera. And I've workshopped this piece in many places. It's already parts of it or have already been seen, but it's never been performed in toto. And that's really the great, great advantage here with a terrific cast to be able to see the whole thing fully staged, beautifully costumed.
Four performances, too.
Yeah, four performances, beautifully staged, fully costumed on a set. You know, it's going to be quite remarkable.
So you get to see it all come together, which must be really gratifying.
It's very gratifying.
It's part of the Siegel idea to, as we expand more into the fall, to invite composers to come up for these kinds of, not really workshops, but full productions of their work. Someone was saying, you know, what can you do that no one else can do? And what I said was, we can put it on its feet and you can watch it move through time with real singers and costumes and sets. And so expanding the Siegel's profile is something that's this is becoming a part of too. We want to be a longer season.
When you look at Roscoe, that had already a predetermined life after somewhat, that there were performances that were going to come after yours. Do you look at that as necessary, or do you see that as where once it leaves your doors, then let the wind take it and where it may?
Well, we're inviting a lot of people to come see this, opera company directors to watch it and see it, and hopefully it will fly. In the development of it or the presentation of it, that's our part, but I also become like a proud father of this, and so I want to see it have legs as well. So part of my job will be to promote it where other companies as well.
And, of course, you hope that it will go on, but to the right place, I assume.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, look, an opera is a huge undertaking, and no one enters into it lightly, and they have to, you know. For example, it's rare to see operatic comedies, and I've spent a long time refining the comic timing and making it be truly funny, not the kind of funny that sort of begs the audience to laugh out of pity, you know, because you're exerting yourself so much, but truly take the audience unawares and have them laughing, and it's very gratifying to see that.
Musically, Herschel takes what in the play is a tennis game and turns it into sort of like almost a game show, and so you hear game show themes under the game of questions, and we did it sort of as a number at a concert, and people were laughing out loud. So
yes,
it works with no costume, so I know it's going to work on stage.
All right, here's a clunky question, but I'm going to give it a shot anyway. I've seen this play, the Tom Stoppard play, a couple of times, and the first time I saw it, I'll be honest with you, I didn't get it. I was just like sort of sat there. It's dense, and I just, bleh. And then I saw a good performance of it.
Yeah.
And then, and then suddenly I thought, oh wow, this is brilliant. This is truly amazing.
Right.
So my point being that there's a complexity to the work, and I'm interested in what you put into it so that you don't screw that up.
That's right. That's an excellent question. Not at all clunky. I spent a long time thinking about this very issue, and I made a couple of quick determinations early on. One was that I don't have to be and I can't be smarter than Tom Stoppard is, and that's not necessary. But what I have to do is I have to be very, very clear in musicalizing it to make sure that all these things that in the hands of great actors, but not in the hands of every actor, are very funny. And so my job is to make it be much more accessible, much more like instantly appreciable by the audience. Because I agree, the comedy is very subtle. I mean, it's brilliant, but it's very subtle.
Yes.
And I recently took my daughter, you know, National Theater did a 50th anniversary production of this, which was, you could see it streaming in theaters with Daniel Radcliffe, you know, of the Harry Potter series. And it was a wonderful production in many ways. But I sat there with my daughter, who had never seen the play. She's seen my workshops. But she was quite confused. And I took notes on where she was confused because I thought, okay, that's a spot that I have to particularly pay attention to, you know, and make sure that the audience stays with it.
Yeah. And when you're looking for the next project, Darren, because there's got to be some name recognition that helps here too, right? So you look for obviously good work, but then also something that's going to eventually sell some tickets,
too. Yeah, absolutely. I really start focusing on the composer, and it's sort of we're sort of in the process of putting next season together already, and I already have got some moving pieces. But there are just some things that intrigue me that speak to me that I'll want to work on. One, next year's project, if it comes through, will be something that has a lot of name recognition, and that's some operas based on the Great Gatsby story. And so, and it also has to fit with the singers that we've got. And so it's a giant puzzle that we put together every year when we're thinking about the season we put.
So let us talk for a moment about opera, the state of opera, and especially new opera. For you, Herschel, there is a place for this new work, although you've said it's been 15 years. Has that been 15 years because that's what it takes? That's what the sort of the system is? Or is that an artistic decision on your part of saying, no, I want to work on this for as long as I can?
No, it's a combination of both. It had some very early success, and it looked like it was about to be done by some very large companies in the States. But, at this point in my career, I know about the vagaries of the opera business. So that it hasn't worked out has proved to be very good for the development of the piece. And I haven't been idle in the meantime. I've done a lot of other things. So I also have, in my own personal history, I never forget the fact that the opera that I was the librettist of called Elmer Gantry that I wrote with Robert Aldridge, we finished that piece and it took 17 years to get it produced once it was done. And then it went on to win 2 Grammy Awards, including Best Contemporary Composition. So, I know that just the fact that it takes a long time is not really, in the larger scheme of things, it's not really a problem.
A lot of times it's just administrations, too, because New York City Opera was very interested in it, and then the general manager of the New York City Opera left, and then the new person doesn't want to do the project that the old guy had. And that's happened, I think, to this a couple of times. And I've always wanted to produce it, and it never happened until now. I've believed in this piece since I first saw it and was laughing out loud in an orchestral concert of it.
But I would think it benefits. I mean, it may not be what you dream of. Oh, I hope this takes 15 years.
Yeah, sure.
But by the same token, that it does make it stronger, and there are great benefits in that as well.
I would say that my chief task in those 15 years was fulfilling something that Tom Stoppard said to me. I've had just a few. I met him a couple of times and had a few phone conversations with him. And one of the things that he said to me early on was, "It has to be funny." He said, "It's not going to be anything else if it's not funny." And I really took that to heart. And a lot of those 15 years has been devoted to refining the comic timing, because comic timing is this, as they say, dying is easy, but comedy is hard.
Yes.
And I've taken that very seriously. And if I've seen a workshop of it, something that I had tried to make funny, if it doesn't get a laugh, I go back and I work on it. I make sure that I clarify. I make it spontaneous. I get what that out of it. It has to be there.
Are opera singers good comedians?
Oh yeah, I think so.
they can be. I mean, I do think that as I said, it's one of the things that I'm pushing towards in heading more towards the ground of musical theater. I think that they can be, but their training doesn't often encourage them to be.
This is really incredible. It doesn't sound like difficult music, but it's very difficult music to learn and to sing, and yet it comes off as light as a feather, and they're doing duels and doing all this intricate staging. One of my singers said, "Boy, when I was learning this, I was cussing you, but it's the best thing I've ever done in my whole life." I bet he was cussing Herschel a little bit, too.
Yeah, probably.
So give us an idea of this Siegel Music Colony and what you're able to do, So from this, and you said you're working on the next season, but you've obviously been working on this for a long time, and then it'll come to fruition, and then you're done for the season?
No, we have two more shows out of it. We get Magic Flute right after that, and then we have My Fair Lady right after that.
Okay.
And we end.
So more traditional repertoire that follows it up, but allows you the breathing room to do the big new thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, we try to do two real book musicals, a traditional opera and a new opera every year.
What do you think about your audience?
The audience is great, and we've sort of trained them over the last 22 years that I've been there, in that they've come to expect what we do, and they also know that we're there to train emerging artists. So they sort of go along on the journey regardless of the piece because they're watching the singers take each of those things and work with it.
I've heard that word you use of train, but it's also trust. I mean, they trust you.
Yeah.
They trust that if they're going to come, they're going to see something pretty great.
Yes, I think so. The productions are stunning, and we have a great loyal following.
Siegel Music Comedy presents the piano vocal premiere of Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead in Schoonwake, New York, July 19th, 20th, and 22nd at 8 p.m. and July 21st at 2 p.m. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. My thanks to Darren Woods and Herschel Garfein. Thank you very much for being with us. Best of luck to both of you, and a real treat to have you on the program this morning.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.